Summer break. Did you? Did anybody have a great summer break?
Sure.
Yeah. Liar, you were still in quarantine. Okay, well, this is the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. I want to call the meeting to order and welcome everybody to the start of a new season. May I ask, Carolyn, would you please read the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, you're muted, Carolyn.
Right.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Okay. Would everybody stand? Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn. Elizabeth, good morning. Would you please do the roll call?
Yes, Tony Alivato.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, present. Carol Downey.
Present.
Scott Feig.
Feig, present.
Okay, Nalita Mendoza. Absent, okay. And Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Sherry Horn.
Present.
Larry Kramer.
Here.
Carolyn Inman.
Here.
Jim Levy. Absent. Okay, John Pointer. Absent. Tony Rodella.
Hoorah.
Dave Tetzloff, he's absent. And Evelyn Velez.
Present.
Okay.
Elizabeth, can you count me present, please?
Certainly. Okay, thanks for letting me know. Okay. And we have a quorum.
Great. Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. So you all know that we did a major realignment as a result of our March workshop. And the legislative committee is now the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee. And we are focusing on the goal 3 of the master plan, which is inclusion and equity. This is a working meeting today. And the purpose is to, we are going to have a discussion on what half of the committee is already working on, which is the closing of the digital divide. We're going to get an update on that. We need to relook at our mission statement and our goals. And that is as a result of a discussion on deciding what our priorities are. We should pick 2 priorities, 3 max, if there's something that you feel very strongly about. And then align our goals and objectives on that. There are also some items that we have normally tracked on our agenda. We usually go through the legislative tracking and the TAC reports. So we need to kind of discuss how much of that we want to keep. Has a copy of the goal 3 and the inclusion and is ready to help us get through this working session. So without further ado, I want to talk about the status of the Digital Divide Ad Hoc Committee. Dave is not here. Is there anybody who can talk to us about that? Oh, Carolyn, great. Okay, all right, you know you're muted. No, you don't.
Actually, I don't have it in front of me, not expecting to do this necessarily, but I think I can give a report anyway. The ad hoc committee worked very hard and relatively fast to prepare a draft and then a second one of the material on the digital divide. And what we did is we wanted to connect, we wanted to piggyback with the chat, and I should have that in front of me, I'm sorry. Which is that they're going to, with the federal money, they're going to give, they're going to give iPads that are loaded. That means the connection is with it. And I don't understand how that works, but that's what they're going to do. And it's like 300 of them plus, 300 plus will come to Orange County, which of course barely touches the need. And so what we've asked is we've made a rather compelling argument, which probably doesn't take a lot of persuasion. It's pretty obvious and pretty much common sense. But I think we've made a compelling argument on the need of being isolated, lonely. We didn't use the word depressed very much, thinking, although that's definitely part of it, we're not medical professionals. And so we stuck, for the most part, until we got a little later into it, we stuck with being isolated and lonely and the dangers of that. And there's tremendous dangers. It's not just being lonesome, but there's health dangers. And there's just lists of things that happen to people when they are in that situation. And then we also talked about the need in terms of the fact that medical professionals are now wanting people to participate with electronically, whether it's a portal to make an appointment, to read something about tests that they've given, results that are given. So they want to communicate both ways in terms of even making your appointments and so forth. And during COVID, it got to the point where people were having, you know, their entire appointment by way of either the telephone or, a Zoom sort of situation. And so when someone doesn't have that, then it's almost like the getting the vaccination for a while there. In fact, that's how we came up with one of our numbers, which I don't think is accurate enough. But we took a look at the people who had to call in because they didn't have a connectivity and didn't have a way to assign, you know, to use their email. And so then we looked at the, you know, what would happen if we increased, and we said that the 300 wasn't enough, that we thought that there should be 2,500. Why not? You know, there appears to be a lot of money coming in, and that still wouldn't probably solve the whole need, but it would be a lot better than 300. So maybe it's negotiating. Maybe by asking for 2,200 more, we get 1,000 more, or even 500 more. Whatever we get is going to be helpful. And then we talked about the benefits, which is the ability to do all these things that we just talked about on the need, and so forth. And we gave it, at SCAC, I guess. And then now Elaine and Erica are going to spruce it up a little bit, do a double check on our numbers. Regarding the numbers, the Cal State Fullerton, said that there aren't very many, that they're doing work on this, and it's hard to tell how many people are really involved. So that hopefully number will become more clear and more definite as we move on. But, you know, our whole goal is that technology is one of the ways that we can break down the isolation. There's a thing called Get Set Up, which we've recommended that they have a little technology situation, quick classes to teach people, which of course is one of the five things that we said. We said they need a device, they need to be connected, we need funding, they need education on how to use these you know, devices, et cetera, and they need motivation. There will always be some that will say no, never, but there might be some that would say, well, maybe. And so we can try to educate the well maybes, the people that perhaps can benefit from this. And maybe you have any questions? That's as much as I can think of right now.
Yes, I have a question about the next steps. So you've made this recommendation, or well, this recommendation will be going to the supervisors?
Correct.
And how will the instruments be distributed? Is that discussed at all?
Yes, and there's, thank you for reminding me of that. There's two things involved there. One is that, one of the reasons to piggyback on this other program is that they've figured that out, how they would do that. However, what would have to happen, and we asked Erica about that, and it was no surprise, they would have to hire a special person to just do that for a while, at least, if, you know, the staffing that they have could not distribute, you know, hundreds and hundreds of these things.
Okay, so is it going through senior centers, or are you looking?
I don't think it goes through senior centers. I think it's more, as I understand it, and Elaine, please correct me, I believe it's similar to what the kids did in a way, which is that people sign up for it, they log it out and take it home. You know, so I think it's I'm not sure about that, to tell you the truth, but whatever they were planning to do, we just said, well, instead of doing it for 300, let's do it for 2,000, 2,500, whatever we can get. Oh, but there is one other really important thing, and that is that okay, never mind. I don't think it's that important after all.
Okay.
Hey, Evelyn, to provide some more information to your question, at this point in time, the distribution would be run through the Office on Aging. And I recommended to Erica that she speak to the county librarian, because they had to go through this learning curve of setting up a similar distribution system when during the earlier days of COVID, the library procured Wi-Fi hotspots that patrons could check out. So it would be a similar type of system. So it'd be great if the two different branches of county government could coordinate and learn from each other.
Okay, so my understanding was that the ad hoc committee was created because of this urgent need to make a recommendation in time advantage of the grant.
Okay, that is what I was thinking. There's going to be one-time money, and this one-time money, evidently it's pretty hefty. This one-time money is going to be spent on something. And this is a perfect sort of thing to get devices into people's hands, is a one-time project. Once they have it, they don't need to do that part of it again. Maybe they need connectivity or something, but the biggest expense would be taken care of. So what we asked for was that with some of the money that's why we were in a hurry, with some of the money that's coming in, could they please use it for this purpose? And then we also then said that was short term, and in long term, this was important, and we should look for a funding source that could continue with the whatever the expenses would be.
Okay. So is it? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And they did also their. it's not really very good, but there is a public-private partnership with AT&T for a different plan. But it's like $50 off. And if you're choosing between food and a connectivity, $50 off doesn't help you too much. So, you know, we said that looked good, but, you know, the idea of a public-private partnership, though, might be good, you know, obviously. But we feel like they're going to have money and perhaps they can just do it this first time around, at least.
Okay. Larry. You're muted.
Yeah. Wasn't this proposal going to go to the
advice or the executive board prior to going to the Board of Supervisors, or it's not that way it was formulated?
Yeah, yes, it is. So, Larry, at the SCAC meeting, what was it, July 9th, was that our meeting? The technology committee presented their report and their asks, and those were approved by the SCAC membership. And now the cover letter and the report is being formatted to address the Board of Supervisors. And that will come to the executive board at our meeting next week. So SCAC, the entire SCAC approved it in concept and approved the points. And then the executive board will approve the actual letter and our report written to the Board of Supervisors at our meeting on, I believe it's the 27th, it's next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Will the ad hoc committee continue to work on the digital, on closing the digital divide?
I believe that they will, and I can't give you a timeline. It all depends on the county's response. And as the ad hoc committee has looked into these issues, if they feel that there's a further study warranted. But, you know, an ad hoc committee is does have an end date at some time, but I can't tell you right now what that is.
Okay. Okay, so as part of it, any other information that you want to share about the recommendation or the report or? No? Okay. Okay, so thank you for that. So as part of the engagement committee, we do want to keep this topic as a priority. It depends on a little bit more about what the status of the ad hoc committee is and how long it's going to continue on that, pursuing that immediate grant funding. But there's a lot more besides that grant funding that we would want to see follow up on. So even if, or when the ad hoc committee ends, that is something that we're gonna need to pick up in the senior engagement committee. So that brings me to our prioritization of the MPA. And so one of them, and it's going to roll into our goals then, and our mission is going to be closing the digital divide. And we can talk about it a little bit more in detail, but let's look at some of the other goals and initiatives and see if there's something else that we want to focus on this year. So normally if we were in a room, I'd have everybody do some stickies and put them on a board, but we don't have that. So let's just talk about, well, in the introduction, they talk about the digital divide, and that's the biggest thing. It says approximately 34% of adults over 60 do not use the internet at all. The next thing is employment and volunteer opportunities. And then the other one is, it says, one of the greatest threats to full inclusion and equity for all ages is elder abuse, which is estimated to impact 10% of older adults living at home and to result in losses totaling in billions of dollars annually. Elder abuse can take many forms, including physical, sexual, abandonment, isolation, financial neglect, self-neglect, and mental suffering. Women are as much as 35% more likely than men to suffer from some form of it. A growing aging population requires increased planning and coordination to prevent growing abuse. So those were the, that was the, their discussion on strategy. Digital divide, employment, volunteers, elder abuse.
So Evelyn, are you looking for us to select some of these topics?
Yes, okay. Thank you for clarifying that, yes.
Well, I think as you've said, closing the digital divide is, I think, one of the most pressing needs that we have. I would continue with that. And I would also say protection from abuse, neglect, and exploitation. And especially coming out of COVID when many seniors did not have contact with mandated reporters. You didn't have the ombudsman going into some of the facilities. So even now it's more important than ever, but, and that is such a broad issue. I think that protection from abuse is something that, will keep us busy, unfortunately, for a very long time. But I think now it's especially timely.
Any other comments?
There's a connection too between digital and protecting people from elder abuse, in that when people are isolated, others don't know what's going on. And that's a problem. And then I don't know which presentation it was, but the one where I think it was when I was on housing committee, but I'm not sure. Anyway, it was one of the presentations, and the person, for Section 8 housing, they have to have a review every year. And so they had said, well, we can't come to the home and see what's going on, so everybody can just do a little video of their home. And this lady didn't have a video, she didn't have an iPad or anything like that. She didn't have a phone. She had no way to do that. And she's talking to this person on someone else's phone, I suppose. And the staff person actually said to her, you may lose your home if you can't do this inspection. That's horrible. You're already nervous about all kinds of things and on edge. And so, obviously there were other ways to do that, like postpone it a year or whatever. But anyway, so the lack of connectivity was harming her ability to get things that she needed to survive, really.
Okay, so that's good. There is a connection there. Would anybody else like to comment on what we will be doing for the next 6 months or a year? I mean, this is your opportunity to kind of shape our tasks. I'm hearing digital divide and elder abuse. Does anybody else have suggestions on what our goals should be or our focus should be? Does anybody support that, those two? Elizabeth is nodding her head. So is Tony. Larry?
Comment?
Yes, please.
I agree on the focus on both of those. I think it's great. And the digital divide, it seems like there is actually action occurring, which is great. So my question would be on the elder abuse, what kind of action can we actually take in this area of focus? And I don't have the answer, I just have the question.
Well, I don't either. And that's what we would work on next in terms of setting up some goals and objectives. And that is the hard part of this committee, is that all we can do is really make recommendations and ask for support from the supervisors.
There are a number of different, I don't know if you would call them agencies or departments within the county, whether it be county government or other entities that touch on the different areas of elder abuse. You have Adult Protective Services, you have the District Attorney's Office and their section on elder financial abuse. You have a number of different areas. So I would think maybe as we approach this, we'd want to get information from them on what the needs are, what the trends are, and then see if we can support any something to address those issues. But there's, you know, it's not a one-stop shop to get the information. There are, you know, different organizations that would have pieces of it. But again, then what do we do as SCAC to help prevent this abuse from taking place? And is it supporting maybe more investigators? Is it supporting community outreach? Is it educating the broader community on signs they should be looking for? So there are a number of roads we can go down with this.
And as Carolyn said, there is a connection with increasing access, digital access. Mm-hmm. Sherry.
The strategic plan on aging, one of their areas was elder abuse. And I sat on that committee. And what they came up with was an instruction program for people in all different languages. Now they have it in Spanish and in Vietnamese and Asian to teach people what elder abuse is and different forms. But they focused more on the financial abuse. But then there's a problem getting mandated reporters to report, and you have to get banks to agree to do this, and laws have to be written to support that. So they came up with, and we had the Justice Department in there, we had everybody around the table, we had Adult Protective Services, and that's really what they came up with. It was a series of instructions to people, and they go around and they do these programs. So you might, you know, that's an interesting thing to teach people what elder abuse is and ways that they can not be subject to it. So you might want to tap into their knowledge. But there's not a whole lot. I mean, because so often the people doing the elder abuse are family, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and the people that are being abused don't want to turn in their kids or their loved ones because they don't want to see them go to jail. Where are they going to go? So it's a very hard issue. It's not like cut and dry what you can do about it, because it's what do people want you to do about it? Of course, we want banks to say something if someone goes to take out your money. Maybe that's a place where, but they are mandated reporters. Police are mandated reporters. A lot of places are already mandated reporters. So I think maybe if you want to work on elder abuse, invite some people from the strategic plan on aging and see what they might have come up with and have to share. That's all.
And there's also elder abuse in areas that we don't realize. I know I heard a very interesting presentation a couple of years ago, and it was someone from the state contractors board talking about how someone will have work done on their home and how a contractor will abuse them and or take advantage of them and kind of string them along, get, you know, overcharge. And then a lot of it is hopefully waiting out that life of the senior before anything gets to court.
Right. They do that to everybody though. It's not just on senior.
Scott.
Yeah, I litigate a handful of elder abuse issues, and I do them on both ends, where I'll bring them on behalf of the elder or a family member who has power of attorney over an elder, but I also defend them as well. You know, and unfortunately, I've seen family members use the restraining orders as almost an elder abuse tool in itself to block out other family members who are really trying to take care of the elder. And one of the issues that comes up in court is whether someone has standing. You know, the elder themselves often doesn't know or is afraid to bring the claim. They have capacity, and therefore no one can bring the claim on their behalf in court so long as they have capacity. Even if they have a power of attorney that's effective immediately, only the elder is the party that can bring it. And I have seen that enough times, and it's very, very difficult at times to get claims into court because of that. You know, to have, you know, if daughter wants to bring it on behalf of mom, but mom hasn't signed over a power of attorney and she knows brother's acting badly, it's a really tough one. And I guess that's where, you know, APS steps in, but I don't know the extent of how far they go to investigate, you know, financial elder abuse. You know, I think sometimes their limitations are, you know, an elder is maybe not being taken care of, you know, physically, you know, and there's issues there because the financial elder abuse really lends itself to, you know, discovery and documents and so forth that I don't know. And I don't know. So I really don't know if APS is like equipped for that. So there's this gray area that's tough to get to that just kind of slips through, at least from my perspective that I see. So, and I don't know the answer. But like Larry brought up, but I definitely see that there's an issue there.
Okay. All right. Yes, Elaine.
I thought of something as Scott was talking. Maybe something, this is trying to think outside the box a little bit, but maybe something we do on the education piece of what is abuse is to educate the pre-elders on what to do and how to set things up and how to prevent themselves from when they get to, you know, when they get older, so they don't slip into that gray area. So maybe part of it is not just the identifying it, but is preventing it. That's just a thought, kind of a little beyond our box, but maybe that's how we reduce it in the future.
I think that's a great idea. Prevention is always important. And I think that one of the presentations, they said, why are elders the target of scams and fraud and so forth so often? And the answer was they're available and they're trustworthy, they trust. And so people that want to scam others can get to them and they can be nice and the person thinks, oh, he's so nice, you know, this is going well, all that sort of thing. So if, you know, if they were to the younger seniors, you know, maybe we could help them see the signs as they get older and are moving into it. I had another question. Do we want to become involved with the kind of connectiveness that's going to be apparent as people return to senior centers and all that sort of thing? Or is that primarily, obviously, it's up to the, I just worry about people coming in vaccinated, not vaccinated. We're all together now in our class that we're taking. but it's so important for people to get out when the time is right and to be with other elders in person. But is that something that we want to be involved with?
Well, I think that's beyond the scope of this standing committee, but that's something that SCAC as a whole has been involved with. Right. And it's that re-engagement in the senior centers. And that's what the ad hoc or this, I'm not too many committees, the advisory steering committee that the Office on Aging and Charitable Ventures are coordinating. So that's, and we're preparing a toolkit for the senior center staffs for when seniors are coming back. And that's a little difficult to monitor or address because mm-hmm. the senior centers all run separately, you know, in different ways by their individual cities. So they're all coming back. Some just went full on where our doors are open. Everyone come in. Some are phasing in activities. So there's different things, but we are, working on that toolkit for the staffs. Okay.
Good, thank you.
Tony.
Yeah, during my time in social services, I would have staff meetings once a week with my staff, and they would bring up cases they had where there was blatant abuse. The problem was that the senior would not file charges because the abusers were family members, either take their money or mistreat them or take their property. And the problem was that without the senior's consent, we couldn't do anything. So, like Scott said, if the senior is cognizant of what they're doing, we couldn't even file the reports. That's another problem with senior abuse.
Okay. So I'm been making some notes in the hopes of trying to get some goals for us. And so what I've heard, I think, is that under a goal of protecting from abuse, neglect, and exploitation, that one of our objectives could be to further education, not just to current seniors, but to their caregivers and as well, not their caregivers, but to their family as well, because the family, I mean, everybody's gonna, if they're lucky, be a senior. And so that education would not just be for the senior, but also for the family. Does that sound like an objective?
Evelyn, I would have a suggestion too that I have found as I get older in education. I think we need to have the medical aspect of this too, because oftentimes, you know, as we get older, our brain is shrinking and our brain is changing, and we sometimes change the way we look at things and don't even realize it. Anxiety levels rise because you feel like you can't do things physically. And there's a whole physical aspect to that. Whereas if you're 55, you look at it one way, but if you're 75 or 80, you start to look at it another way because of the difference that is occurring physically with you in all aspects of your body, you know, if that makes sense.
So you're saying that there needs to be further education on physical changes?
Yes, absolutely. For people who are aging.
But would that be for this committee, or would that be for Wellbeing Reimagined?
I don't know. If we're talking about educating seniors on how not to become victims of scams, educating them in one way would be educating them on how their brains are changing and how their bodies are changing so that they're aware of that change, so that they're aware that that change is coming, or they can plan for it or whatever. You know, you can look at it and think about how to prevent that kind of thing, or have just physically the things you physically can't do. I was talking with my doctor the other day about brain changes in people as they age, and I think oftentimes we're not aware of that. The brain shrinks. Our brain shrinks as we get older, and that makes a difference in how we view things. So I don't know. I don't know if you could prevent, I don't know how that would be come into the aspect of prevention of scams. But, you know, if you're aware of the fact that this is happening to you, than sometimes when somebody is trying to take advantage of an older person. That was just an idea.
Okay, so, but definitely planning for the future is mm-hmm. is important, and that's something that we can help provide education on.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, what else do we have that we feel we could actually achieve under elder abuse?
Did you see what John Pointer put in the chat box? Well, that was good information.
I didn't see it. What was it?
It's about, well, I'll let John talk.
Yes.
He's on here.
Yes.
I don't need to talk here. John.
Thank you, Elaine. The CDA put out a report in July this month. The first progress report. It takes the entire MPA and identifies their progress to date in every one of the goals. So one step in this process, I would think, is take a look at this thing and cherry pick ideas out of there. Reference was made earlier to the Orange County Library. There's a reference in there about a partnership with Cal State Library and UC Berkeley launching Cal Chronicles. That's an outreach effort, probably. That's just one idea. We've got an ADRC in Orange County, one of the few in the state that have an ADRC. That's another area that is referenced in the category of equity. So just a couple of things, but I would suggest or urge you to take a look at this as well. And they talk about elder abuse. There are five items under elder abuse that the state is doing. So that just might give you some focus in terms of what the state's doing. And you may wish to align or not align with what the state's doing, but at least you know what the state's doing and saying it applies here, or, hey, we've already done that. Okay, we're ahead of the game. But I think that might help you focus further. That's all I had. Thanks, folks.
You also put on there, item D, which was the opportunities to volunteer and engage across generations.
Right.
And that's pretty important because that helps against, well, let me just hang this phone up. Okay. That helps prevent isolation. It keeps seniors engaged, keeps them mentally active. And it also, you know, think about us, you know, some of the broader goals we've talked about over the years, the AARP livable communities, that helps our communities become more livable for all ages. And I think also that intergenerational or cross-generational interaction helps reduce any stereotyping of seniors or any senior discrimination. So that's something on the volunteering, which would touch many of the areas that we're looking at. And that's item D under the MPA 3 goal.
Well, that goes to what somebody else said in terms of kind of our goals. Our third goal could be this engagement and whether that is having seniors communicate with other seniors. And that would be actually a volunteer job where seniors are helping other seniors and identifying issues of neglect and issues of abuse, or even with the helping them get interested in the use of computers and showing them the benefits of that. So I kind of see or hear three goals now: closing the digital divide, protecting from abuse, neglect, and exploitation, and promoting engagement of seniors. And that would be through volunteers in these other activities. Any comments?
No, so that's the under the strategies, that's three of the six strategies, which I think is pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Ambitious, which is good. So that's B, D, and E when they list out the strategies for goal three.
Okay, question. Hey, John? Show my
yes, Larry.
How do I get a hold of the report that you just referenced?
Yes.
Send it to Evelyn for distribution after the meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. Do we have concerns about having these three goals? Do you want to keep it to two goals?
I think three are good, and there's some overlap in them also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see overlap.
Evelyn, would you restate the three goals, please?
Okay, so the first one would be, and I don't have the exact words for it, but basically closing the digital divide. The second would be the protection from abuse, neglect, and exploitation. And the third one would be to encourage or support senior engagement. And what I'm thinking specifically there is volunteers to help with the first and the second goal. I mean, anything else that they want to do, obviously, but this is something that if we could promote volunteerism in helping people close the digital divide and protect against neglect, I mean, that would be ideal. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. So if those are our goals, let me just look at I'm looking at our goals and objectives now. So our first one was that we would advocate topics impacting seniors as identified by this legislation. Well, so that would change, and that would be advocating topics in these areas. And so the objective was each member shall propose a topic and speaker for at least one meeting for the year by the February meeting. So that objective would remain, the goal would change to be specific to our new mission. The second goal, the chair designee will coordinate with the housing and transportation, health and nutrition to identify senior issues impacted by the state or county budgets or by legislative action. So that one we would not be doing. That's where,
but also, I think with Health Reimagined, there could be some coordination when we're talking about protection from abuse, neglect, and exploitation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as Carol was bringing up, some of it is, you know, educating us on the changes in our brains and our bodies that may make seniors more vulnerable. So that may be something that Health Reimagined may be addressing, or there could be coordination between the two committees.
There definitely should be coordination. Oh, where's Patty? Patty's not here today, is she?
No, but Ann Moudry is here. Ann Moudry has been on the meeting, and she's a member of the Wellbeing Reimagined Standing Committee.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, I'm just listening in. I'm not sure, the last time we had a meeting, I heard it was Health Reimagined, but I also saw Wellbeing Reimagined. So I think we'll clear that up soon. But I did want to say that the lady, Carol, I believe she was talking about the brain becoming smaller. Actually, what is happening is the brain cells are dying. reading also true. But also what I knew when I was younger, and I wish I knew what I know now when I was younger. So, and I'm really vulnerable to people coming to the door, selling things. And we just don't open our door. We just say, we don't need it. But anyways, I'll bring it up with the Health Reimagined. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Anne. So Anne, are you considering being on both committees, or are you just representing, are you representing the Health Reimagined committee?
No, I'm just listening in.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how my interests will go in the future, but okay. I find this very interesting.
Okay, good. Okay, because we do need to have some communication with Health Reimagined. And in the past, Patricia has been kind of keeping us connected, but she's really not a member of the committee. Is that correct, Elaine? She's not really a member of the committee.
No, but she's been acting as a liaison between the two, because I think, and then like Elizabeth or Dave bring us information from the Housing and Transportation Committee. So we try to have some cross communication so we all know what each other's doing.
Okay, so that would, I could see that as a goal in terms of continuing communication, but with the subcommittees. Okay. All right. Currently, our third goal says legislative committee will make recommendations on proposed long-term priorities impacting seniors at county and state level. And that is still the case. We are talking about long-term priorities. I guess, I don't know, long-term, short-term. Well, we don't need to specify that they're long-term priorities, right?
Well, or you might put long, short and long-term, because that's what you bring to the workshops, the annual workshop.
Okay. And so these are the initial proposals will be completed during the September meeting. Is that still the schedule, Elaine?
No.
I gotta call you back, okay?
I'd say during a meeting determined by the SCAC executive board, because we, you know, with COVID, we got out of cycle. So, and now we're gonna be delivering the technology request to the Board of Supervisors. So we need to, I can't tell you right now what the next cycle will be.
Okay. All right. But the work of the committee will be presented at SCAC at the executive board meeting, whichever date that's going to happen.
Yeah. And actually there's three executive board meetings that the chair attends to let us know what you're working on.
Okay. All right, the fourth goal as we have it now would not continue. Which is, and it says, committee members will track the status of legislative items at the state level. Only as they relate to our topic though, right? I don't see that we would be keeping track of legislative issues in general.
But if you go on the California Collaboration for Long-Term Services and Support, they do have, I mean, I just pulled this up this morning, status as of July 19th, the legislation that's relating to goal number 3 for the MPA.
Okay, and that was the California Collaboration for what?
Long-Term Services and Support. So that's something, I don't know that the whole committee would be focused on legislation as we have in the past, but there may be one or two committee members who are very interested in legislation that would want to keep us apprised of anything relating to the MPA.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thought. I don't know. I don't, if anyone else wants to add something. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. I've been on, but I couldn't actually get my video working right.
Oh, well, it's good to see you.
I've been here all the time.
Okay, good.
Well, you've been very quiet, which is unusual.
That's the reason.
Okay. And then we need to add these goals of the digital divide, abuse, and communication.
Well, or you could, that could be goal number 1, because mm-hmm. we identified some topics.
Okay. All right.
And maybe change that wording that we'll be addressing the end, list those 3 topics that we selected.
Okay. Okay, well, I can do a draft of what we've discussed to distribute for our next meeting, if that sounds good. Yeah?
Yes. Okay.
All right. Okay, well, let's move on to then. I do want some clarification on some of these agenda items that we've had and how we want to focus them, if we want to focus them and maintain them. So the next item was legislative tracking volunteer, Tony. Tony, do you have some thoughts on how you would want to do tracking for this MPA goal? It's important to still keep tracking the legislation as it relates to what we're doing.
Well, that's the idea, you know, the keeping track of what's going on as far as things pertaining to engagement part of the our committee in reporting on those as far as any bills that concern this particular items. That's makes any sense.
Hey Evelyn, let me piggyback on Tony. There's a specific document published by the Master Plan for Aging Ledge Committee that identifies each of the goals and in the legislation currently being considered in session by goal. So my thinking would be that Tony would bring that report as part of the process to this committee, identifying those legislative bills that are directly impacting equity.
Okay. Good with that, Tony?
I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what the thinking is about the CSL Ledge report, which what I think I heard earlier was a broad presentation of legislation in the state wasn't an issue for this committee to consider anymore. That's a pretty crude summary, but I think that's what I heard.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard also.
Say that again in different words, please.
There's a monthly CSL ledge report that identifies the legislation CSL had secured authorship from legislators. We report on that and historically have reported on that to this committee. What I think I heard was that with the name change and the focus on equity, the interest was more laser-like on the legislation involving the goal, not the broader presentation the CSL report does, where it does not categorize legislation by MPA goal. It merely identifies the legislation across the board in the current legislative session that CSL has secured authors for, and then also identifies bills involving aging that CSL supports. Now, what I heard was there wasn't any interest in that anymore. And that's a broad summary. I guess I could try to do a little bit better, but I think broadly, I think that's what I heard. So I think what we're suggesting is the MPA specifically identifies legislation by MPA goal. We can bring that if you're interested in that.
Yes, but how is that different than what Tony would be reporting out on? Is it different?
Well, as John already said, you know, when I report and I send this report to the legislative committee, you should have gotten it, it was in the packet, is that we report on the broad series of bills that are going to the legislature, both CSL bills and just in general. And so we, John already stated twice that what we're hearing is to eliminate this and just report on bills that are specific to the MPA regarding engagement.
Is there going to be, now that the MPA is in existence, is there going to be any change in the formatting from CSL to identify?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I jumped to the gun. Go ahead, Elaine.
Well, to identify which bills are related to the MPA, or maybe that's something that you or Tony could add to the CSL report that we get, have a column, you know, just say, or highlighting, you know, this relates to which, whatever goal it is. I know not all of them are going to relate.
Every bill on the MPA ledge report that is prepared by the Justice and Aging is a bill CSL. So every bill CSL has generated is on the MPA ledge committee report, categorized by MPA.
Okay.
Now, I can show you that if you want to see a screen share, or we can just, you know, talk in very broad terms. It's up to you guys.
Well, can we do a screen share?
You have the authority to allow all to do that.
Or maybe Jenna does. Jenna, can you allow John a screen share?
Awful quiet.
Jenna is on mute.
Yeah. Evelyn, if you go down and click screen share on the bottom, do you have the ability to do that?
Well, I've never tried it before.
Well, yeah, click. It'll tell you whether or not you can screen share.
It's green.
Share content.
Hi, Evelyn. This is Jenna. I'm here. You do have the ability to share your screen. All panelists do have that permission set up.
Okay. No, I tried. It says it's disabled.
Yeah, mine said I can, but I don't know how I can share it with John. Yes. Oh, John figured it on its own. There we go.
Okay, here's the report. So it starts out at the top by the goal. MPA goal number one.
Wait. So far, we're just looking at a folder file name.
John, do you have two monitors?
Yes, but I'm only on one right now.
Interesting. Yeah, we only see the file folders. We don't actually see the spreadsheet.
How about now?
There you go.
Yeah, now we can see it.
Okay.
Wow.
So this is published by the Justice and Aging organization. So it's basically the Ledge Committee made up of individuals who participated in the MPA in the past, and they came up with a process for identifying legislation by MPA goal. So here's 675, that's ours. Okay, so every CSL bill is identified in here. Okay, so we scroll down, here's equity. So here's equity.
Inclusion.
So these are the bills that they've categorized in MPA goal number three.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that we can report on this in the future if you want it in this format.
Mm-hmm.
This does not involve bills that CSL supports. Okay, this is merely bills that are in the hands of legislators. Okay. So on the report CSL generates, page 2 and 3 identify all of the bills. They would all be on here that we support. So it's basically this report would cover the waterfront for you if you're interested in it, rather than the CSL report. It's up to you.
Looks good.
So yeah. In answer to Elaine's question, this report would cover all of the CSL bills that are currently, that were authored in this legislative session.
Okay.
This would be more relevant. This would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any questions?
No, not about the report.
This would allow you to interact with the other two SCAC standing committees because you can talk to their focus and their goals as well, as this is the legislation currently impacting them. So the rep that interacts with the other two committees from this committee could provide information in regards to, well, this bill is addressing this. So it's more detailed at this point in time.
Can you explain the color coding on this report?
I've tried to keep up with it, Jim, but it's Justice and Aging. What I attempt to do is keep track of this column right here.
Right.
Okay, inactive. So that's what I attempt to do. I've yet to, and there's nothing down at the bottom that identifies there's no footnote that identifies yellow means this, green means that, this kind of thing. Whatever you want to call this color. So. Sorry, I've resorted to this call.
Okay.
Well, which does bring us to the point of, we have this information. Have we communicated it with the other two chairs and the other two committees? And if not, I think that we really should. I think that we need to kind of close this chapter, so to speak, by the other committees are then taking responsibility for legislation within their focus. So we should share this information with them, where they can see it and what it means. And do I have a volunteer for doing that? Okay. I will, then I'll do the sharing with the other two chairs, unless I saw anybody's hand. Did I see your hand, Larry? No. Okay, but we would then, in our agenda, continue to track our legislation. I've got to tell you honestly, I do not understand the difference between legislative tracking and CSL caucus as agenda items.
Well, I don't know how that came about, Evelyn. So Tony provides an overview of legislation that is currently being considered by the legislature. The caucus is a placeholder for CSL, in my opinion, where we provide an overview of what's going on in CSL, whether it was senior rally day or whether it's other issues involving the CSL.
Okay. So I believe we still want to keep that agenda item. Is that true?
I would hope so.
Okay. All right, great. So along that line, John, do you have an update for us on what the CSL is doing?
Thank you, Evelyn. The process now is, and what we would do is basically piggyback on Tony's presentation to say, so this is the status of legislation generated by CSL, and we have just gone through the budget process. Very different this year, tons of money, but I don't believe we have a final budget posted to e-budget yet. It's coming out in drabs. So anyway, there really isn't a spending impact this year on aging programs. So that's good news. That's really good news. So CSL now moves to the legislative process again, which they never stop. And we're now continue to track where legislation is that we have generated and been picked up. And it continues, the remaining bills continue to make their way through the process, committee, floor votes, et cetera. We have generated 30 new legislative proposals for the coming legislative session in 2022. Janice has sent those proposals to Ledge Council. Just as a reminder, because I don't think it's appreciated enough out there in the aging community, we're the only organization that has access to Ledge Council.
And Ledge Council has gotten back to us when they have questions concerning how the proposal could be improved and how it relates to other situations that may be going on.
Exactly, Jim. Several people have been contacted. Others are still waiting anxiously because they feel like they're being overlooked. But the bottom line is that, again, historically, somebody goes to a legislator in everything but the CSL approach in the time frame between September and January and says, I got a great idea for a bill. And the legislator then says, okay, I like that idea, and sends it to Ledge Council. We do that in July, August. We get it then reviewed by CSL and we identify our top 10. We're in a position in November to it's a poor choice of terms, but I'll use it, shop our legislative proposal that is now in a bill format. We're 90 days ahead of what typically goes on in January.
True.
That's huge. We're walking in with a bill. Somebody else is walking in with an idea. So anyway, a little promotion for CSL. The process then continues, and we're getting ready for the annual session. And the current 2 weeks ago, I said, we're going to be in Sacramento. All of a sudden, we've got another surge in COVID, and we've now got people, we now have some questions anyway about what the form of the annual session is going to be. Just to go on record once again, if there's any way we can, we will have an annual session in person in Sacramento. And ideally, we will be utilizing the Capitol. Ideally. Okay. So that's our report, Evelyn. That's typically what the CSL caucus portion is all about. Just giving you an idea of what the legislative process of a small organization that does a big job in Sacramento.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. And
if you'd like more or less, you just let me know, okay?
Okay. And you, Jim, Sherry, who else is on that committee? That's
Jim, Sherry, Tony, Elizabeth, myself, and the only person I think that wouldn't be here is Kathy Mutchek. And Kathy is not a member of SCAC. Mm-hmm. Sherry Horn, of course. Sherry is one of those again. So Tony, Elizabeth, Sherry, Jim, myself,
Dave,
and
Dave. Oh, and Dave.
So there's seven of us.
Okay, great. Anything the rest of you have to add?
Okay. I think I'm good, Lane.
Pardon?
I think that's all I have. If your question was directed to me.
Yes, thank you.
A little hard to hear.
Thank you, John. Okay, moving on our agenda then. We have a new member, Carolyn Inman. Thank you very much, Carolyn, for joining the committee. I know we kind of introduced you last week, but would you like to introduce yourself? I'm sure everybody already knows you, but is there something you'd like to say?
Well, legislation was always my favorite thing. When I was in education, I was involved for a long time going to Sacramento on behalf of community colleges, et cetera. So I really like the idea of getting something done. And when you get a bill passed, you know that you got something done. Well, providing it's actually implemented or whatever. But anyway, I love results that you can put your hands on. But my main goal is the isolation situation. And so that's why I'm interested right now. I was a retired educator for 40 years. And now I'm trustee for South Orange County Community College District. So I'm very happy about that, working hard. Inundated. The reports are like crazy thick, but I'm a good reader and I'm enjoying it very much. My husband now is at one of the Irvine cottages, which you probably heard. Now, I don't actually know these people or anything, so I might get this a little bit wrong. But as I understand, they were owned by Dr. Jacqueline DuPont. Is that correct? And in April, she donated 12 cottages to Alzheimer's Orange County. I mean, can you see going to your tax man? Well, yeah, I have a few donations here. How about 20 million in houses? But she's still on for a while as the program director, essentially. And so he's in one of the very lovely and very efficient and very nice cottages. And so we're happy, rather have him at home, but if he can't be, then our first choice, not so good. This choice is good. So anyway, I have grandchildren and I'm changing. My daughter and I are trading houses.
Oh.
The pod comes tomorrow and I'm not ready. But so I move. Her house is in, it's called Rancho San Joaquin. It's the first golf community in Irvine. And it's not new, but they are lovely. It needs work. So there's a three-part process. 90% of my belongings that are going into a pod tomorrow and the next day. But I'm staying here. The family is coming here. This is at my suggestion. Rancho San Joaquin is small and it's illogical to me to have one person living in a medium-sized house and four people living in a small condo. So that was the reason I wanted to change. And the other reason I want to change, the main reason I want to change is not, you know, the size is important, but all the retired ladies are over in San Joaquin in the golf houses and all the kids are here. So my grandchildren need to be here. They need to walk to school and they need to have their friends nearby. And so everybody's happy about this, except right now we're just in the middle of a lot of work. But anyway, I think it's a good idea. So that's about it for me. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the committee. And congratulations on your new position with the board, the school board.
Thank you.
And good luck with the move tomorrow or the.
It's just really complicated. Oh, I forgot one of the steps. It would be less complicated, except that before I move in, I'm going to remodel it. Actually.
Yeah.
So I'll be staying here while we do a few little things like the kitchen and the bathrooms and the flooring and pretty much everything. And then I'll move into this brand new place. And when it comes time for resale, it'll be ready for that as well. So anyway, it's interesting. And I love the community college board, as I was saying. You know, I love community colleges and serving on that is truly a labor of love. I'm excited about it. And I can contribute because half of my career was in community college, either teaching or the leadership. So it's a good match. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
I have a real quick question for Carolyn. Carolyn, on the cottages, there are 20 cottages, you say, in Irvine that your husband, and how many are in each cottage?
Take care of
a lot of people.
Yeah, no, there's not 20. I think the maximum was 14. I don't know what happened, but as I understand it, I believe that 12 of them are the ones that were donated. I don't know what happened to the other two.
Okay.
So there are 12. They aren't all in Irvine. They're called Irvine Cottages. I would have to actually look at the list to be accurate, but I think it's 9 of them are in Irvine. There's now one or two in Mission Viejo. There's one in Newport Beach. So they've been recently, I guess, they've been branching out to other places. The state law, there's never more than 6 people in each one.
Okay.
Residents. Okay.
It's a residential facility then. That helps. That helps house people with Alzheimer's. That's good.
Yeah. And then last night I thought of Sherry. I don't mean that. I thought of Elaine because I've been trying to push the Irvine police we have a take them home kind of thing. Another man was lost last night. He was about 80 and somebody found him. They were walking along and he was laying on the ground and they got help for him. But that program is so good because they don't know who he is and he can't tell them. And so it's just the saddest thing. We should all have our loved ones signed up for that program because it works very well.
What is that program? Take them home.
Elaine, what is the one for the share? I think Irvine has
Take Me Home. And if you go to the Orange County Sheriff's Department website, you'll find it and then you can register on there and get some information.
Yeah.
Okay, because every police department should be connected with that.
Yeah, well, we don't really have sheriffs, so our IPD has it, but it's really good because you waste time when they have to find you. Maybe you're off at a SCAC meeting, you know, they have to find you and then you have to find a picture and, you know, and that's hours perhaps before, well, anyway, it's just they can immediately go to the file, which has pictures. Where does he like to go? It tends to be men. Where does the person like to go? Typical place, but although I don't think they could usually find that place. But, you know, there is one of the things that happens is called wandering. I mean, it's so common, they actually have a name for it. And I noticed in the cottage, no door is open. It's not locked exactly, but when an outside door is open, there's an alarm. So they prevent the wandering in that way.
Well, I would think that every police department in Orange County would be well advised to coordinate with the sheriff's department.
Yeah, all of the cities that contract with Orange County sheriffs they're all in the same system. So that works very well for cities that with the sheriffs. The cities that have their own police department, they've been invited to participate, and it's a matter of whether or not they can get their technology to sync up with OCSD. Also, Take Me Home is not just for seniors.
Right.
So if anyone has special needs youth, I know I have a friend whose son has Down syndrome, and her biggest fear is him, you know, getting out and wandering. So you can also, there's not an age restriction on registration. So you can also, you know, if you have special needs like that, register people on it. And the beauty of it is that you are not then having to look for pictures and get information. Once that call is made, they can send it out and the picture and everything out to all the squad cars that are patrolling the area to look.
Well, I'm going to ask our police department then, our city council and our police department, if we're getting involved in that or are involved in that. That's a good question for me to ask.
Yeah, I'm trying to get our senior council to work with the police or whatever it would take, because it's a good program, but like so many programs, most people don't know a thing about it. You know, I know because Elaine had a presentation and then I said, this is a good idea. And they say, oh, we already have that. And I've been on senior council for 3 or 4 years at the time and I had never heard of it. So the regular citizen on, you know, there's anyway, I think we need to market it better, because once you need it, it's too late to set it up then. It needs to be set up before.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Larry, can you give us an update on TAC? Did they have a meeting in June?
Yes, of course. We had a meeting in June. In fact, I submitted it and you should have seen it in the, should have been in the packet for the last Senior Advisory Committee meeting. Should have been there. It was held on June 8th. And for those of you who want to know what TAC stands for, it stands for the AAA Council of California. And if you want to break that down further, it's the Area Agency on Aging Advisory Councils of California, which is why they call it TAC. Okay. Normally, we make a big report to that. This is all the area agencies throughout California. And usually they want a big report. They have a very standardized format for it. And about 2 or 3 days before the last meeting, they said, we don't want any reports, which is somewhat disappointing after you've worked on it for 3 months. But maybe they'll do away with them entirely, because I'm not sure anybody reads them. Anyways, instead of that, we had three presentations. One was an initial comment by someone, which John Pointer's familiar with. Fellow named Paul Branson thought there was a weakness in the transportation section of the MPA with its emphasis on beyond cars. He thought it missed the point of supporting seniors. He believes the emphasis should be on providing individual rides for seniors, like taxi discounts and subsidies for drivers for seniors, And apparently CSL is developing a bill to provide sustainable funding for these areas. John, you want to add to that at all? Or are you even there? Okay, go on to the next one.
Excuse me, Larry. No, I think you covered it. But again, this is very unique for us. We have taken, rather than just a issue at the local level, we've taken an issue that started at the state level. Transportation wasn't an issue that was very well addressed in the MPA. In fact, some people would suggest it was shortchanged. So this was an effort to try and take transportation and generate a proposal that would address transportation in the minds of seniors. So I think it's a exciting opportunity. We're waiting to see how it goes. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, John. The next presentation, well, the presentation was on the Home Safe Program, which was an Assembly Bill AB 1811. And it was to support the safety and housing stability of individuals involved in the adult protective services by providing housing-related assistance using evidence-based practices for homeless assistance and prevention. And that program is just ending. And so there's a new bill which would extend that Home Safe Program to more counties. It was a pilot program before, which required 100% match from the county, and the new program would require the match to be only 25%. So it might be something that Orange County might be interested in. And then there was a nice presentation on the San Diego intergenerational effort. And I think this program is available in more places in San Diego, but it's something along the lines of what we've been talking about here. And its aim was to bring many generations together for mutual benefit. They provide pre-COVID, they provided activities such as games, dance, mentoring, gardens, and cooking. They have an intergenerational directory, which lays out all sorts of things that the generations can do together. So you're talking about not only seniors and children, but you're talking about middle-aged people, to bring them all together, which I think addresses a lot of the depression and so forth that people might experience. And the last topic was on homelessness, and my only comment from that was no new ideas were brought up on homelessness. The next meeting is September 14th. I expect it will be by Zoom again, and I'll be working on a report, even if they don't require it. Any questions? Thank you.
Actually, I have a question about the Home Safe. So explain that again to me, please. What does the what did the original program do? It helped people who were at home.
It provided money. They call it safety and housing stability. I think it provided money so that people who were in adult protective services would be providing some money so they didn't lose their homes during the COVID area.
Oh, okay.
And now they want to expand that.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
I expanded. Before, it was a pilot program, and now they want to expand it throughout California, and instead of requiring 100% match from the county, would only require 25% match.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Larry.
Yep.
Dave is not here to talk about the housing and transportation. And Patty's not here to talk about health and nutrition, but
he asked me to talk about.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Elizabeth. I mean, I know we were off last month, so I'm not quite sure that if you had a meeting since our last one, but please.
We did. On July 8th, we had our Housing Transportation Committee meeting. The presentation was on the Holden Senior Housing in Anaheim Hills. There is this gorgeous thing for seniors and for people with dementia.
beautiful thing. But the residents in Anaheim Hills don't want it. They have had this church across the street, and for 10 years, nobody's gone to this church. It's just been empty, and they rather like that. Well, something is going to happen, and these people should be very lucky that they would get this senior housing. He showed us pictures. I mean, it's just incredible. He contacted me and asked if he could come and talk to the Housing and Transportation Committee. And so I got in touch with Gene Hernandez, who does the programming, and he said, fine. And so he showed, so this Z. Sean Eunice showed us the pictures, showed us everything, and asked if we could help. How could we write letters? Could we, this Tuesday, tomorrow, the 20th, the Anaheim City Council will be voting yes or no. And the opposition to this is getting people from all over, because my thinking was, well, I'm from Mission Viejo. I'm far from Anaheim Hills. What good would I do? But he pointed out that no, the opposition is getting people from all over, and they are huge, this group. And so he asked us. So our members were asked to write a letter, and he gave us a template, but we were to write as individuals, not as members of the Housing and Transportation Committee. And so I followed up. First, I sent out all of that to begin with. And then on early Friday morning, I sent a reminder. Everybody, have you sent your letter? And by the way, he invited me to, he, this Zishan Yunus, invited me to the Anaheim State of the City luncheon. It was last Wednesday, but I declined his nice offer. And but I've never been invited, not even my own city. But anyway, I declined it. But I thought that was very gracious of him. Anyway, that was the presentation, but it was good. It was really good. We've had two resignations, and then of course Carolyn switched, so that's a third person who's gone from the committee. And every month we get the SMET, the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Report, about the three different areas, 1, 2, and 3. And she goes over that, but you don't want to hear all that. I think you know that the three different service areas. And often this is included in the general SCAC meeting anyway. So that's the report. Okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, NIMBYs. NIMBYs are quite a problem.
Yeah.
Is that my backyard?
I'm wondering what the opposition is to senior housing. It's not homeless.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes. Oh, then the elderly men might be peering down into the backyards of the, I mean, it's just preposterous. Just preposterous. And that some of these people with dementia might get out and walk around the neighborhood.
Oh my God.
It was just ludicrous. It was so bad. But Gene Hernandez said that he knew two of the council members on the Anaheim City Council, and he was going to get in touch with them, because I mean everybody could see that this proposal was beautiful, fantastic. They're never going to have anything like this. And so if it's voted down, these people are going to rue the day that they ever opposed this particular project, because they'll never have anything so nice. But your question is well asked, like, how could you be against anything like this? And there'll be hardly any traffic, because these people aren't going to be driving anywhere. I mean, it is just ideal.
Maybe they should rezone it commercial and put in a gas station. How would they like that?
Or, you know, the high density, low income housing, or you have maybe a three story place. Oh, wouldn't that be nice for these people?
Okay. I'll contact the council members in Anaheim that I know too.
Wonderful. Oh, great. Okay. Super. But tomorrow's the meeting. Okay. So contact them today.
Okay. Health and nutrition, our well-being reimagined. Yes, I see that it has a lot of names right now. Patty's not here, and I don't want to put you on the spot. If you happen to have some update, that'd be great. Otherwise, we will just move on. Oh, I totally lost Anne. Okay.
What was I going to say? Our next meeting is this Wednesday, and it is about cancer. And Dr. Thing, I think that's right. Can't remember exactly how his name is spelled. We'll be talking about cancer. And I was doing two things at one time, so I didn't quite catch. Did you want me to report to the Health Imagine what was taking place here? And if so, I would like that chart from John. Pointer. That's possible.
Yes, it is possible. I think we have it. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Anne.
All right.
Okay. Announcements and roundtable discussion. Do we have any announcements, any meetings, conferences?
I do.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
April 14th, the Pacific Symphony will be playing for free at the park in Mission Viejo. You say, what park? The one right next door to the Community Senior Center. It's fantastic. So if you live close by, you don't want to miss this. This is the Pacific Symphony, and they come every year. Usually it's the last weekend in July, but this time it's August 14th, the Saturday. So I encourage you to go. It starts at 4:00.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, public matters. At this time, members of the public may address the committee regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. I don't see any members of the public.
Hi, Evelyn, this is Jenna. We did not receive any requests to speak via email. We do have one attendee in the room. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Seeing none.
Okay, thank you, Jenna.
I'm very happy to have joined this group and listen to see what's going on. And I'll keep in mind to participate more often.
That would be terrific, Anne. Thank you very much. All right, well, that brings us to an end. It is 11:15, and our next meeting is scheduled for August 16th at 9:30. I will write a draft of the revised goals and objectives and send it out to everybody. And we will kind of finalize that, vote and finalize that at our next meeting. We also have a speaker at our next meeting. I don't have my calendar in front of me, so I'm not sure who had the speaker for the month of August. Does anybody remember? All right, well, I'll send that out also in the email, just a reminder about the speaker.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Okay.
You're supposed to get the speaker. And I contacted someone who they haven't gotten back to me. So at this point in time, I need to contact someone else.
Okay, what was it going to be about?
generally, I don't really have the idea. I don't know right now.
Okay, Jim. I mean, I'm just wondering if the person didn't get back to you, if maybe we could actually find somebody from Adult Protective Services.
That would be a good idea. I can do that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I will make a note of that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. Well, that was timely then. Okay. Larry.
I won't be here for the August 16th meeting. Can somebody else volunteer to take notes?
Carolyn volunteered. Thank you very much, Carolyn.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, no further ado. Thank you very much. We will see you next month. Have a great time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.